forgot when I first saw such a video. I think it was one of those Facebook things you click and you go and they show a video. It's of a toddler, I guess just a little older than an infant, for the first time puts on eyeglasses. Their reaction is priceless. They're fussing. Mom and dad are trying to get the glasses on. And then there's this instance of recognition that something has changed. And the look on their face is, all of a sudden they can see shapes that they never saw before. And quite often, they end in tears with the parents just overwhelmed with joy. But for the first time, perhaps, their child can recognize their face. And it's not just the babies. There's been a great advancement in technology over the last 10 years. There's this company called eSight. They have these glasses. They kind of look like the virtual reality goggles. They're a little bit smaller. But they have such quick image generation that the computer built in can scan the environment, alter the image so that the person looking in this contraption is able to see what they formerly couldn't. There are those with macular degeneration, with other things, I can't remember all the names of the illnesses, but for the first time, in maybe a long time, if ever, they're able to see certain shapes and details and clarity. There's also a set of glasses out there now that can help the colorblind see colors. Another heart-wrenching, in a good way, video was of an artist who previously had only worked in pencil and for the first time was able to see color. Again, tears of joy. So Jesus is on his ministry in the 9th chapter of John. He comes upon a man that was born blind, and Jesus heals him. A little bit of spit, a little bit of dirt to make mud, and a washing in a pool. The man born blind receives sight. Imagine what that must have been like. For the first time, to be able to see shapes and colors and details. And by the way, not have to rely on someone else to navigate the world of the seeing. And there's great rejoicing, is there not? Tears of joy stream from his family and his community. Nope. There is no joy in this. The man received sight, this miraculous healing. And instead of celebrating with this man, they interrogate him. How did this happen? Who did this to you? What did you do? Everybody abandons the man. I mean, think about it. He receives sight, which arguably, again, would be a time for great celebration. And everyone turns their back on him. His community, those who had recognized him only as a beggar, the religious institution, those who perhaps should have seen this as a work of the divine, even his family abandoned him. They give in to their fear. What the religious authorities would do were they to celebrate this gift from God. But of course, there is one that does not abandon. The one from whom this gift came. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. The Word of God incarnate. Come to dwell with humanity. Jesus sticks by the man's side. Jesus has no problem receiving the attacks of those who would push back against this wonderful act. This first part of the book of John, folks call the book of signs. In it, Jesus performs 7 miracles. He turns water into wine. He heals 5,000. He walks on water. 3 times, including today's story, he gives healing to someone. And next week, we'll hear perhaps his greatest sign. He'll raise Lazarus from the dead. In all of these, Jesus, with the power of God, gives life and health to those with whom he interacts. And it always creates a stir among the people. Those, again, you think would celebrate what God is doing through Jesus in their midst. Always creates a stir. Jesus performs these signs, giving life, restoring people to health. Of course, he gives faith to those who would receive him and his message. Take a bit of a turn here for a moment. Many times in our liturgy, in our theology, in studying Scripture, we hear the basic message, Jesus died for our sins. Right, this basic understanding that what God accomplished with Jesus on the cross grants us salvation. Have you ever stopped to wonder why that is? I mean, not why would God do it? I mean, we know God loves us and wants to free us from our sin, or in the words of John, from our darkness. But why does dying on the cross grant salvation and save us from our sins? You don't need to answer now, but it is not a rhetorical question. Why does that accomplish what our faith proclaims it accomplishes? Well, of course, theologians have wrestled with this since before the New Testament was written. It's the theory of atonement. Right? Scholars, theologians trying to puzzle out why it is that this exchange of Jesus' death on the cross should offer salvation to the world. Atonement. Literally, if you break the word down, it's at one. Right? How does the cross bring God and people together? Creator and creature as one. Now, there's been so much ink used on this. And you know what? There's no great consensus. The very central tenet of our faith, that Jesus' death on the cross saves us from our sins and offers our salvation, we cannot agree as to why that exactly is. There's a book I have, actually a couple. One's called Crazy Book. The other one's called Crazy Talk. They're both irreverent takes, first on the Bible and then on theology, written by some professors out at Luther Seminary in Minnesota. And when it comes to the theory of atonement, they give these wonderful explanations. Now, there are many, but there are 3 main theories that have had the most traction over the last couple of thousand years. The first one they call the Hermione Granger understanding of atonement. Now, if you know the Harry Potter story, right, Hermione is the perfect student, the goody two-shoes, the one who knows it's Leviosa. That's the obedience understanding. That what Jesus did was be perfectly obedient even to death on the cross, and therefore sets the example for us, but also accomplishes what we cannot. That is the perfect life, defined as perfect obedience to our God. Jesus does this for us. All right, so that's Hermione Granger. The next one is the Terminator. I'll be Buck. The Arnold Schwarzenegger character that goes around blowing everything up. All right, that's the Christus Victor theory of atonement. That is, that through Jesus and the death on the cross, God defeated the forces of evil. Death, the devil, all that would separate us from the love of God was crushed when Jesus rose from the dead. An unfair battle. God is totally victorious. Now, the third one they don't give a name to, but since I've noodled through this for years now, I call it the Jerry Maguire theory. Show me the money. This is the theory of atonement that says something had to be paid. Because of our sinfulness, because of our brokenness, there was a price that needed to be paid to God. Sometimes we understand that as the scapegoat, right? We put our sins on Jesus, he dies on our behalf. Sometimes it's understood as the ransom, right? We had to buy back humanity through Jesus, buying back Jesus from Satan. Again, scholars are of no great consent on this one. Whether it's Jesus is the perfect example of obedience, morality, whether it's a pure crushing defeat through power of God over Satan, or whether or not some price was paid to buy back humanity from the ruler of this fallen world. Then comes a wrinkle. Most of those understandings come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and of course, the theological work of St. Paul in his letters to the various churches. The book of John, perhaps unsurprisingly, sees things different. In the book of John, it is not Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection that defeat the powers of sin and offer salvation to the world. It is Jesus' life that offers salvation. Think about the stories we've had 3 weeks in a row now. Jesus coming to someone or someone coming to visit him. A back and forth on two levels all the time. You know, first it's being born again. How can I go back into my mother's womb? Sometimes it's water. Sir, you have no bucket. And today it's literal eyesight. In all of these, throughout the encounter, the main figure other than Jesus comes to some deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Now, Nicodemus perhaps is not the greatest of the three, but think about the other two again. Last week, the woman at the well. I mean, that story ends with her entire town saying Jesus is the Savior of the world. In today's text, the man born blind goes through this series of understanding who Jesus is, each one getting deeper into an understanding that Jesus is God amongst us. In the Gospel of John, what saves us from our sin, what offers us salvation, is an acceptance of who Jesus is through faith. Sin in the Gospel of John is unfaith. Now, not doubt, that's something different, and that's the story of Thomas, right? Thomas often gets made the villain, but Thomas does what we all do, and it's okay with Jesus. Jesus gives Thomas what Thomas needs. Now, this is out and out rejection of what God is doing through Jesus. A shutting down, a non-acceptance of this wonderful, miraculous breaking through into our lives of grace, love, mercy, and healing. It's a relationship. Right? The acceptance of Jesus in faith creates a relationship with God through Jesus. That's what light means in this gospel. That's what seeing means in the gospel. And the story ends today with the Pharisees scratching their heads like, we thought we see. We thought we know the light. And Jesus says, no, I am the light. And if you're not accepting that, you remain in your darkness. But those who are in darkness can receive me and receive the light. It's a powerful expression of grace. Earlier, when Ed was warming up, he played a little Amazing Grace. Though I was blind, now I see. It's a simple matter of accepting God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is a rabbi, yes. Jesus is a prophet, yes. But Jesus is the very Son of God. That acceptance gives us that new life which is eternal. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear that we haven't figured out things over 2,000 years, it gets me a little down. What do you mean? There's no answer? How can theologians not agree on that very basic thing? Why does the cross save us from our sin? But then I step back and realize God's ways are not our ways. God is ultimately a mystery. How God accomplishes what God accomplishes on our behalf is God's doing and not mine. So I accept it in faith. So which is it? Is it Hermione Granger? Is it the Terminator? Is it Jerry Maguire? Or is it as John sees it? It's simple faith. Well, I can go to sleep at night because I realize it's not an either-or proposition. Given that God is a mystery and we are limited in our full comprehension of God and God's activities, it's a both end. Perhaps God does a little bit of all these things. Perhaps the answer is yet unknown, and we'll only know when we're on the other side of the grave. But however you slice it, it comes up as God's love and God's grace. Jesus is the Savior of the world.